On the sideline view this afternoon, we're very honoured to be talking to a fog, and we're not talking about weather, we're talking about a former Origin great in Nate Miles. How are you, Nate?
I'm very good, thanks, mate. How are you?
Very well. Nate, I went through your career and having a look at it, and I didn't realise you'd played for the clubs that you had played for, but you played for the Canterbury Bulldogs, the Roosters, the Titans, Manly, Storm, 234 games all up. That's quite a career.
Yeah, mate. I very blessed. I probably didn't realise either. I had more clubs than Tiger Woods, but I found out through some generous friends of mine. But no, it was a very lucky career, mate. Went for a good amount of time. I still think I got out of the game early, and you know, with a little bit of functionality in my legs.
Yep. As far as it was concerned with the regards to this, I noticed that when you first, you know, you came from Cairns, and you went down to Sydney to play for Canterbury Bulldogs, and you were sharing a house with, now, are you ready for this? Sonny Bill Williams and Jonathan Thurston. What an odd pair.
Yeah, I think that is an odd pair, but I suppose in regards to the game and greatness, they are some incredible athletes and terrific footy players.
Indeed. All right, now, along with all of that, in 2006 through to 2017, you played 32 games State of Origin for Queensland. You've played in the Prime Minister's 13 between 2007 and 2011. In 2010, you played for the NRL All-Stars. You've played for Australia between 2010 to 2016 in 9 tests. And then in 2012, at the Daily M Awards, you were named Second Rower of the Year. So the list just goes on and on. What was it like playing first up for Australia?
Yeah, look, Australia's the pinnacle of where, as a rugby league player and an NRL athlete, that you want to be. And man, I was so fortunate, very, very lucky. I still to this day believe that my progression to play for Australia was off the back of a very fortunate Origin career. The fact that we were in a club there that allowed us to be very successful. We were. I almost feel like they had to pick me, if that makes sense.
Fair enough. Now, as far as State of Origin is concerned, 32 games is not to be sneezed at. It's a tough old arena, is it not, State of Origin? It's not for the faint-hearted.
Yeah, look, I still to this day pinch myself, mate. Yeah, I've said it from the first series we won to the last one I was privileged enough to win. It was like sitting on the back seat of a bus getting driven by some of the greats to ever do it. And I was lucky with that, mate. I got on the right bus. So it's a tough environment. I always said that, and it should always be this way, that whatever happens on that field stays on that field.
Yep.
The referees, to some extent, allowed a lot more to go on in the game. But I do think the timing of what's happening in the NRL is a little bit unfortunate with leading into an Origin series and being so critical of the point of contact.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that because, as you said, they do let a few things go when State of Origin, and it makes more for the spectacle, I do believe, by letting those things go. But from what they're doing now, it must be woeful for the coaches who are sitting there, like this weekend, about to name their sides for New South Wales and Queensland, and they don't know who they're going to have to play because they don't know what's going to happen over the weekend.
No, that's right. And what's interesting that I find, mate, is you want to be able to put your best athletes and your best players on the field. And your best players and your best athletes are the ones that put bums on the seat. What we're doing now is we're speeding the game up, or what they're doing now, we're speeding the game up to create fatigue with less stopping, but they're also being more critical of a player under fatigue that makes a mistake. So it's kind of pushing the athlete to be more of an athlete now.
Yeah,
but you want to see your best teams out there, and I think both sides are going to be a little bit wary of this weekend and what happened.
Fair enough. Now, as far as the speed of the game, is it too fast now?
I don't think it's too fast, but I think there is a lot of time now because of errors that the game's not going. The ball's not in play.
Yep.
More fatigue leads to more errors. I like the fact that they're now a little bit more harsh towards professional fouls. But being harshly dealt with because of fatigue. That's what they were trying to do.
Yeah.
And I feel like some of these mistakes, when slowed down, look very bad. But, you know, that's the game you play. It's a contact sport, and everyone started playing the game and became great at the game knowing it's a contact sport. No one person got to that level of football without, without being belted, I'm sure. Yeah.
As far as you're concerned from looking at it, is it just the fatigue factor that's getting to these guys? And how long... I know coaches are saying, well, we should have been given more warning because we could then coach them not to do that. Does it take as long as they're saying for a coach to get a player to say, right, you've got to tackle low?
Yeah, it does. I think it does. The part of what training now has evolved to is that everything they're trying to do is at game speed, which is to maximise your ability to stay focused and be in the game under fatigue. So you'll do all your ball work, all of your training under fatigue, and it takes time to get used to that.
Yeah.
So I do think there would have been a better process in regards to awareness and being able to train for it, especially during pre-season. To what extent that they would have needed a heads up on it, I do not know. That's way out of my realm. But, you know, there would have been a much better way to do it. I felt like it was just smacked on 1 week.
Yeah.
It was just sort of, let's deal with it.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it? Well, it leads us now to what is going to be happening in Bundaberg on Tuesday, because the Queensland State of Origin team and some of the legends of the game are going to be in Bundy for a Maroons fan day and street parade. And lots of things are going to be happening here in Bundy. There's a street parade, as we said. There's free rides, face painting, entertainment. Plus, you can buy your Maroons merchandise, and there's community activation as well. So it's a big day. The fan day has basically come around from Mel, was it not?
Yeah, mate. Yeah, well, there was a few stages of being underneath Mel as a coach where he was really heavy on putting back to the community, especially the ones that had gone through some severe duress in some of the floodings and for fires and all that sort of stuff.
Yep.
The fact that he used to get us all together on a week that was already jam-packed full of events was pretty good. You know, we used to camp out and sleep on these little tiny beds and sleeping bags. It was amazing, mate. A few of the boys rolled into fires a couple of times. But, mate, it's a great day. I know there's going to be some other guys out there from that stint, like Big Sammy Thaiday and Matty Gillette will get out there for an official Junior Kids Rugby League clinic. And, you know, you can come out and meet your favourite Maroons player. So my day will be very free. I'll be out the back somewhere. So it'll be good fun.
So
but it's a great concept, mate. I know we've had some tremendous days out there, and the boys get a lot out of it. The guys that go out there and enjoy the experience.
I was going to ask you is, what does it mean to the team itself? Is it because they've arrived on the Monday, they've had their physicals, and they've had Monday night, then Tuesday, bank, they're into Bundaberg. What's it mean to them? Is it just that they get to meet the people that are really the ones that are behind them, like the fans?
Yeah, well, it reiterates, mate, where they are. You know, it reiterates the fact that you can sometimes lose track of what started your love for the game and what made you want to put that jumper on when you were 7 years old. So I think now, when you get out there and you see these situations where people, I wouldn't say less fortunate, but the position they're in at the time just makes you think of who you're doing it for, your family, your friends. You get an understanding of people's excitement and what you can bring to them when you go out there and perform in that jersey.
Last question, the jersey.
Go.
What's it mean to you?
How much time you got, mate? I spoke about Australia briefly before, and Queensland, you know, I was more fortunate for duration of time spent in that jersey. Just means everything. As a kid growing up, watching it with my brother and my family, that was what it was all about, you know what I mean? So it's everything to me, and, you know, when these young guys, you know, I don't want to focus too much on what players won't be in that in that jersey because of a few rule changes, but you think of the opportunity it's going to give someone else. And they're the players that are going to experience that. They go to a fan day, they understand why it brings the highs to so many of our amazing state.
Yeah.
It's everything. It should be everything. And if it's not everything, you don't need to be in their jersey.
Fantastic. That's said with a lot of emotion. Nate, thank you very much for your time today, and we look forward to seeing you on Tuesday, and good luck with your future.
Pleasure, mate. Thank you so much.